The following is a lecture entitled What is Krishna Consciousness? Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 5th, 2014 in Mauritius.
So, thank you all very much for coming here tonight for this Krishna Conscious program. Krishna consciousness is the prime necessity of the human being. The present moment we are suffering in so many ways because we're not Krishna conscious. So what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? Krishna conscious means, or Krishna consciousness means, to understand who I am, who is God, what is reality, as much as the relationship between myself and God and all living beings. In the modern day society, we're very keen for economic development, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the animals are also doing that. They don't have psychiatrists, and they don't have animals going crazy like human beings are going crazy. You see, without any difficulty, they get their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But we human beings, we're struggling like anything just to have our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending with so much anxiety, you see. But actually, the human being, he has greater intelligence. He has greater intelligence than the animals, so he should live more comfortably. He should have less trouble for his eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But because the human being is not properly situated in his natural position, therefore he's experiencing so many anxieties. So Krishna consciousness means to come back to your original natural position. That's what it means to become Krishna conscious. What does that mean, the original natural position? The actual nature of the self is spiritual. This material body is simply a covering of the self. It's not the actual self. Just like your garment. I see this gentleman's wearing a white shirt. Let's see. Is he a white shirt? No. But he's wearing a white shirt today. Tomorrow maybe a blue shirt. You see. So the body, just as a gentleman may be wearing a white shirt or a blue shirt and not be the white shirt or the blue shirt. In a similar way, I may wear a human body, an animal body, a plant body, a white body, a black body, a male body, a female body, American body, a Mauritian body, you see. But that's not me. So the first lesson you must learn on the pathway of true happiness, you must learn and understand, I am not this body. Can you all say that out loud? I am not this body. Everyone say, I am not this body, you see. That's the first thing you learn, teach your children. It's the first thing that you should know, you see. I am not this body. It is due to false bodily identification that we are suffering so many anxieties. We're being tortured by this bodily identification. Because if you think that you are your body, then what is the end result of your body? Old age, disease, and death. It's a very, very unhappy end. As long as you think you're the body, you're going to be miserable. It's unavoidable. Even if you're a wealthy, famous person, you're still going to get sick, you're going to get old, and you're going to die. Look at Professor Einstein, the biggest scientific brain. Could he stop his death? No, he could not. So the most important thing each and every one of us must understand is, I'm not this body. It's not me. I'm not the body. If there's one thing you must learn, it is, I am not this body. You have to have that realization. So, when you actually understand and realize you're not the body, then the next question would be, well, okay, I do exist. I can feel my existence. I know that I exist. So, if I'm not the body, what am I, is the next question. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that answer. He says, Jivera Sarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. You see. So, now you know what you're not. Now you know that you're not that body. And now you know who you actually are. I'm the eternal servant of God. You see. I'm a spiritual being. When this body is finished, I will not be finished. According to my karma, I will take another body. And if I actually take up the process of bhakti, as described in Bhagavad Gita, that means I get free from my karma. I don't have to take birth again to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease once again. If I take to the path of bhakti as given by Krishna, he says, Punar Janma Navidyate, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 16. For one who comes to my abode, he never takes birth again. So, ladies and gentlemen, we members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement implore you, we recommend to you, we beg you, please try to understand what is Bhagavad Gita. And please try to follow these teachings. Otherwise, we cannot guarantee that even you'll have a human birth in your next life. You could become an animal or a dog or a tree or a grasshopper in your next life. I'm not kidding here. I'm talking very seriously that you have to take up this pathway. Otherwise, by your karma, there's no telling where you end up in the lower species. I'm sure you would not like to be a dog in your next life or a bird. But if one does not take to the path of spiritual awakening, their karma will take them. There's no telling where your karma will take you. You see? So we implore you, please, 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 hear from the bona fide spiritual master. Hear from the bona fide scriptures. Take this knowledge very seriously, that this is the most important thing I've ever heard in my whole life, and now I must put it into practice. You see? We're begging you, please, do not throw away your human life. It's stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human birth, you must utilize it to understand what is the absolute truth. This human body is only rarely achieved. There are 8,400,000 different species. And out of that, there are only 400,000 types of human beings. We don't see them on this planet, but throughout the universe, there are beings on other planets. Throughout the universe, there are 400,000 types of human beings. And there's 8 million types of other living beings, plants, insects, fish, birds, beasts, etc. So, by Karma Chakra, we are traveling through all the 8,400,000 species. To be in the human birth is a rare position, and is a unique position, because in the lower species, all you can do is think about eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. You do not have a brain to understand higher truth. But the human life gives you a special brain. By God's grace, you have a special brain where you can inquire, who am I? Why am I suffering? Where have I come from? What is my duty? What is the meaning of life? What lies beyond this universe? Is there another realm beyond this universe, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss? You see, the human being can ask these kind of questions. So you need to ask these kind of questions. Otherwise, you're going down to the lower species, because human life is meant for spiritual inquiry. If you do not use your human life for spiritual inquiry, karma will carry you into the lower species. You understand? This is very serious. I don't want that any of you have to go down and become a dog or a cat in your next life or a bird. I want that all of you at least would get a human birth in your next life, you see. And ideally, we want that all of you can get out of the cycle of birth and death, not even take a human birth. Get a spiritual body in the spiritual world, you see. If you will take the spiritual master's teachings very seriously, if you will follow his instructions very carefully and sincerely, then by the grace of Guru and Krishna, you will get liberated from this material existence. All you need, I was very fortunate, I found a bona fide spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You see? And by his grace, I've been liberated from the cycle of birth and death. I'm liberated already. Even though I'm still here, I'm liberated, you see, because I fully surrendered to my spiritual master. I have no business except to serve my spiritual master for my whole life, you see. Therefore, I'm a liberated soul, you see. So, if you also do this, you also can become liberated soul. If you will follow the instructions of the spiritual master, who is teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is, spiritual master does not concoct something. He doesn't make up some new teaching. If you go to a guru and he's not speaking according to Bhagavad Gita, get away from that place as fast as you can, because that's called a bogus guru, a cheater, a charlatan. The bona fide spiritual master simply presents the teachings of Krishna as they are. He doesn't add anything new. He doesn't subtract anything. He simply gives what is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Sarva dharman purit jaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, mokshayami ma shuchaha. Give up all other duties and just surrender to me. I will deliver you from all of your sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, if you will put Krishna in the center of your life, and then everything will become perfect. You'll become the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect father, the perfect mother, the perfect friend, the perfect son, the perfect daughter, the perfect brother, the perfect cousin, the perfect citizen. If you simply put Krishna in the center and do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then all of your relationships will become perfect. Now we see so many divorces. This is against the Vedic scriptures. Divorce is forbidden in the Vedic scriptures. But so many Hindus are getting divorced, you see, because they are not following the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and putting Krishna in the center. If you put Krishna in the center, then there's complete happiness in the married life, in the family life, in all spheres of life. If you put Krishna in the center, then there is perfect happiness and peace and harmony. So, do not think that taking a spiritual life will impinge upon my family enjoyment. No, it will actually make your family life perfect. When the husband and wife and the children all agree to try to please Krishna and serve Krishna, then the family life becomes like heaven. Becomes so sweet, so wonderful, so happy, and so peaceful. So within the family, also within the nation, if the governments can put Krishna in the center and teach the citizens to put Krishna in the center, there'll be beautiful peace and harmony within every nation. And if this can be taught in the United Nations, you see, then there'll be peace and harmony throughout the whole world. So this is our mission, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We want to save the world. We're on a mission to save the world. We're out to save the world. Because the God-centered conception is being kicked out, and that is bringing all havoc in this world. As soon as you kick out God, all havoc will come. Because our very natures, we are lovers of God. If you deny God, then you deny our very identities. Some foolish scientist, he said that actually we're not even persons, we're just robots. We're just chemical reactions. We're not even people. If you can imagine, this is a leading scientist. He says we're not even persons, we're just robots. This is where our demoniac material civilization is heading. They are teaching, we are just robots, we're not even people. We're not even persons, you see. So the Krishna Consciousness Movement is against all of this nonsense. We are bringing actual knowledge, actual life to the people. So kindly take this life of Krishna Consciousness. Do not throw away your life simply running after sense gratification like the dogs and the hogs that eat stool. Do not do this. Use your life to awaken the dormant love of God within your heart. This is the instruction of the great Vedic king, Maharaj Rishabhadev. He told his sons, "My dear boys, of all the different types of birth, this human life is very rare. Therefore, do not utilize it to imitate the ways of the dogs and the hogs who eat stool. Utilize it to engage in devotional service of the Lord, to realize your actual spiritual nature. And in this way, you will achieve unlimited happiness that goes on increasing unlimitedly forever." So I can ask now if there's some questions. We've had people listening in also on the conference call from all over the world. And they may have some questions as well. Let's see here. If anyone has some. Here's a question that came in. This is a question. This came in from India, from Shama Priya Devi Dasi. She says, "Hare Krishna, Srila Gurudev. How can I quickly burn off all of my previous and present karma and completely avoid generating any new karma?" It's very simple. You simply have to surrender to Krishna. That's all. Surrender yourself to Guru and Krishna. Krishna says, "Sarva papebhyo mokshyashami." By this surrender, I take away all your karma immediately. So it's not difficult. Simply have to do that. Okay, we have a whole stack of questions from the local devotees tonight. We have about 12 questions at least so far. So we'll do two, we'll go two and one. Two from the locals and one from the internationals. "Dear Gurudev, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Can you please elaborate from where we have gotten the mentality of trying to lord it over material nature? Krishna does not force us to love him. Just as a parent does not force the child to love, you cannot force someone to love. So, since one has the choice to love Krishna or to leave Krishna, sometimes that choice will be misused. So that's where the independent lording it over mentality comes from. It's a misuse of our independence. Sometimes in a couple, the husband and wife may have two spiritual masters. If both the spiritual masters are bona fide, there's no difficulty because actually Guru is one. Guru cannot be two because the teaching is one, you see. The bona fide spiritual master, they may have, if both gurus are bona fide, they will be in perfect harmony. Just like during the time of Lord Chaitanya, there were so many spiritual masters. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, so many gurus, you see. But the whole Vaishnava community was one family. They were totally unified as one family. So two gurus is not an issue. But are you surrendered to your guru? That's the thing. If you're surrendered to your gurus, then there'll be no problem. If you're not surrendered, you're trying to enjoy your senses, then there'll be problem. Can you kindly tell the essence of Gayatri Mantra? Gayatri Mantra means to deepen your Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's see, we have some more coming in. This is from Shreyas in India. "Srila Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. Isn't human life robotic if the independence is not used to serve God?" Yes. Actually, we are robots if we don't surrender to Krishna. We're manipulated by the modes of material nature. That's a fact. So in that sense, the scientist is correct. We are like robots. We're puppets in the hands of the three modes of material nature. But that's not our real nature. That's our covered self, you see. So in the covered sense, yes, we are like robots. But when you surrender to Krishna, you regain your original personal nature. If you'd like to add anything. "Many people in Mauritius refuse to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they still come to the temple for the prasadam. Is it not a good idea to charge them a fee? Well, if you charge a fee, you have to charge everybody. You can't say, do you believe Krishna is God? And if you don't, you have to pay a fee. If you want to charge a fee, you got to charge everybody a fee. You got to be democratic about it. Actually, in Los Angeles temple, they did charge a fee. And I've seen in San Diego, they charge a fee as a, you know, mandatory donation to attend the Sunday program. And they, many people were gladly giving the money because the food was so good. That's up to the local management, but you can't discriminate on the basis of either everybody pays or nobody pays. If someone is helping poor people, according to Krishna, is it good? Yeah, it's good, but it's not good enough. Helping poor people is good, but it's not good enough to get you out of the material world. Because if you simply help them in a material way and you don't help them to get liberated from birth and death, you're actually helping them to stay in the material world. So therefore, you have to stay in the material world. So therefore, if you want to help the poor people, give them Krishna consciousness. Don't feed them, give them ordinary food, give them prasadam. And then they'll be liberated and you'll become liberated. Okay, let's see here. Do we have any more questions coming in from the... No international questions. More, let's see. What to do when we have so many things to enjoy in this world? You have to understand none of them are really enjoyable. You're kidding yourself. You're thinking that any of them are enjoyable. There is not one paisa's worth of enjoyment anywhere in this material world. Not even one paisa. There is none. We only think it is enjoyable, but that's our illusion. There actually is no enjoyment here. It is called maya sukaya or illusory enjoyment. There is no enjoyment. What is the minimum we should do as prayers to get a better human body in the next life with better facilities to enjoy life? Well, there's no guarantee that you'll be a human being again. You say, well, I don't want to go back to God. I just want to enjoy material life. So what can I do to guarantee I'll be a human, have a human body again in a nice situation? There's nothing you can do to guarantee that. As long as you act on the material plane, your karma will act. And you there's no little formula you can do to come back and enjoy human life again in the material world. If you want something, the only sure thing is if you surrender to Krishna. If you surrender to Krishna, it's guaranteed you will go back to Godhead. This will be your last birth in the material world. That's guaranteed. Okay, next question. Some people say that animals also pray. Is this true? No, animals do not pray. There are some rare cases with animals pray, but that's an exception to the rule. There was one dog in Mayapur. He used to, when the devotees would leave the temple room in the evening and go for prasadam, he would come into the temple room, because dogs aren't allowed in the temple. So he would sneak into the temple room and offer his obeisances to the deities. But that means he was a human being in his previous life, and due to his sinful activity, he took birth as a dog. But he still had his human consciousness. That's a rare thing, you see. Mostly the animals do not have human. There's some rare cases. Also, Maharaj Bharat, he became a deer and he remembered his previous life as a human being. So that's a very rare thing. But no, as a general rule, animals do not pray. Okay, we've almost run out of questions unless more are coming either from the chat session here or the locals. Oh, here's one more. Here's a few more. Okay. Okay, here's one from Lipsa. Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. What holds one back from complete surrender to Krishna and Guru and how to break off that? It's a lack of faith, really. It's faithlessness. Because of a lack of faith, we hold ourselves back from complete surrender to Guru and Krishna. So how do you get faith? Because faith is what you have to have. Shraddha is the basis. Shraddha or faith is the foundation on which the skyscraper of bhakti is constructed. If you don't have that foundation of faith, you may build a very cool-looking building, but it will collapse in due course. You have to base it on strong faith, you see. So, yasya deve para bhaktir, tata deve tata garo, tasaiti katita hirata prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So that faith is essential. How do you get the faith then? It's very simple. You have to find those devotees who have strong faith. Pakka Shraddha. We have to seek out devotees who have unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna. You have to serve those devotees. You have to hear from those devotees. You have to learn from those devotees who have unflinching faith. Faith is a contagious disease. So if you will hear from those who have unflinching faith, serve those who have unflinching faith, worship those who have unflinching faith, then you will develop that quality of unflinching faith. And all of Vedic knowledge will become revealed to you. Here's another question from Champak Lata Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how to build good relationships with all devotees? Always be in the mood of loving service to devotees. Not how much I can get out of the devotees, but how much can I give to the devotees, you see. Always be in that mood. How much can I give to the devotees? That's how you build proper relationships. And that will make you strong in Krishna consciousness. While speaking to a friend about the soul, this is a local question from Mauritius. While speaking to a friend about the soul and transmigration of the soul in the lower species, his response was that since we cannot remember our previous birth, there is no problem. He does not mind taking birth into lower species as long as he does not remember. Well, are you ready to go right now? We'll call your bluff. Right now, we're going to send you to lower species right now. You ready? And you won't remember you're a human being. You can go down and become a snake or a bug. You ready right now? Anybody want to come forward? And we'll send you down to lower species right now. I mean, you know, talk is cheap. You can say anything you want, but this is an old saying, put up or shut up. You know, if you're really willing to do that, then step forward now. And we'll send you to lower species if you're ready. It's a bluff. It's a bluff. Nobody wants to go into a hellish situation. What if it's like saying, okay, we're going to put you in a solid. We're going to send you off to ISIS to have your head cut off. But we're going to give you a drug that'll make you forget everything. Forget that you had a nice house and family here in Mauritius. And you're in a wonderful, peaceful life, the beautiful breezes off the ocean and the lychee fruits. And you'll forget all about it. We'll give you a special drug that give you amnesia, and then we're going to ship you off to ISIS to be beheaded. Are you ready? I mean, come on. These arguments are ridiculous, completely ridiculous. Can a ghost serve devotees? Ghosts don't want to serve devotees. Ghosts have demoniac consciousness. Okay, here's some Christopher and Shirley in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Our humble obeisances, Srila Gurudev. To what extent do the effects of our karma still affect us after surrendering to Krishna? To whatever extent. Let's say I'm 10% surrendered to Krishna, then the effects of karma are still acting on me 90%. If I'm 20% surrendered to Krishna, the influence of karma is acting on me only 80%. If I'm 60% surrendered to Krishna, the effects of karma are acting on me 40%. And if I'm 100% surrendered to Krishna, karma has absolutely no effect upon me. So, how much free do you want to be from karma? You see? That you have to decide. How much free do you want to be from karma? Completely free, partially free, or not free at all? It's your choice. So if you want to be completely free from karma, then you should seek a bona fide spiritual master, take shelter of him by initiation, and dedicate your life to following his instructions. That's what you have to do. Okay, Arjuna killed all of his cousins in the war. Was he a perfect cousin? From a material point of view, he was the worst cousin he could possibly be. He killed all of his cousins, you see. But from the spiritual point of view, which is the higher point of view, he was the perfect cousin. Because actually, all of those cousins got liberated to spiritual forms. All the warriors who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra become liberated because the whole thing was done under the order of Krishna. So actually, he was the perfect cousin. Okay, the questions have run out, so maybe time to stop here. Would you like to add something?
Hmm? I send you a question.
Any more questions?
I send you a question.
You already wrote me a question?
Yes.
On the paper, I answered it.
No.
Did I answer your question?
No.
I didn't. Show me which one it is. I didn't.
No.
I never saw it in here.
I asked a question.
What was the question? Just tell me verbally. Yeah.
Somebody asked a question about charging money at the Sunday feast.
Yeah.
So my question was this: why we want to charge the money who voluntarily comes to the temple when we are organizing food for life for the poor people who does not even come?
So she's Vishnupriya Devi Dasi is making a point that why. If we give food for life for people who don't even come to the temple, why would we want to charge money for people who come to the temple? And actually, I agree with you. I think it's a good policy to give away prasadam free of charge in the temple.
For the benefit of poor people, we go give out the prasadam. So the people who are coming, they are taking prasadam for their benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with them. I'm just saying sometimes in ISKCON history they have charged money. In San Diego they were doing that. Because many people were just coming to eat and they weren't coming to hear. That's probably why they did it. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm in favor of giving away free prasadam. But I'm just saying sometimes ISKCON centers have charged money. But they did it without discrimination. Okay, we have another question coming in. This is from Rabindra Das in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. We were just there, and now he's caught up with us again on the internet. Obeisances, dear Gurudev, our statements concerning desire for future service opportunity entangling rather than liberating if they do not come to be. If one has a desire to engage, has so many desires, I'd like to do this for Krishna, I'd like to do that for Krishna, and you inquire about that from your authority or your spiritual master, that's very nice. Well, I'd like to go out and distribute a lot of books, or I'd like to open a center somewhere, or I would like to start a cow protection program, or, you know, if one has a desire, I'd like to raise the standard of the deity worship in the temple, you know, if one has desires, that's very nice. And those kind of desires are very good, and one's heart should be just overflowing with spiritual desires. You know, I want to spread this movement. That's what I wrote Prabhupada when I first joined. I said, Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement, and he was so pleased with me for having said that. He said, I can see you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. He said, continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So to have a desire to do things for this movement, it's very good. So and such desires do liberate one from material desires. You should have unlimited spiritual desires in your heart. And that way you become free from all material desires automatically. Would you kindly comment on 2:14, Jesse True has written. 2:14 is Matrasparshashtukanteya Shitoshna Sukadugada Agamapayano Nakshtang Tatakshashvabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer season. They arise from sense perception, O Sayana Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. The reality is, in this material world, we're always being hit with the dualities, you know. It's hot, it's cold, sometimes we're rich, sometimes we're poor, sometimes we're loved, sometimes we're hated, sometimes we're adored, sometimes we're ignored. These dualities are always there. Sometimes you have a nice job, sometimes you get laid off from your job, and sometimes we're young and healthy, sometimes we're old and sick. These dualities are always there, but you have to be situated beyond these dualities, seeing everything is coming from Krishna to help me come back to Him. But even the stumbling blocks, the devotee doesn't see them as stumbling blocks. He sees the stumbling blocks are simply stepping stones to help me achieve, you see, the supreme perfection of going back to Godhead. A devotee, actually, even his failures, he builds on his failures, and in this way he achieves mega success. This is the proper understanding of 2:14. So, let's see if there's any other questions. Okay, here's some Champak Lata Devi Dasi. I go to a school for the blind and preach to around 60 blind kids who are in an age group of 5 to 15 years. What is the best way to preach to them? I can tell them, actually, you are not blind. Although materially you are blind, actually you have perfect vision. You have perfect eyes in your spiritual body. So if you will chant these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, your vision will become turned on and you will see everything in perfect clarity. I would encourage them, you can become free from blindness if you chant Hare Krishna. It's a fact. We have perfect spiritual bodies that never get deaf, they never get blind, they never get sick, they never get old. They have perfect spiritual bodies. Right now in a dormant state, and by practicing Krishna consciousness, we revive those spiritual bodies. Okay, is there any other questions here? Let's see if we got any came in from the. If anyone on the chat has asked a question, it's disappeared from the window. So if anybody in the international chat session, if you didn't get your question answered, please type it in again, because I can't scroll back here in the middle of the lecture here. Just type it in again. And I don't see any other questions, so I guess everybody's satisfied now. All your questions have been answered. Everyone's happy to know what your duty of life is. How many now are going to give your life to Krishna? Raise your hands. Some have not ready to give their lives to Krishna yet. Those who are not giving your life to Krishna, why not? Why you don't want to give your life to Krishna? Anyone want to say? Why not? Why you don't want to give your life to Krishna? Krishna says that. That's his order of Bhagavad Gita. This is the scripture of India, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, surrender to me. So why you don't want to follow your own culture? That is, Indian culture means surrender to Krishna. So why you don't want to follow your own culture? You see, this Indian culture is the topmost culture. Why you don't want to follow your own culture? Doesn't make sense. So please rethink your life and come to the point, yes, I will give my life to Krishna. Now a question from Krishna Maya Devi Dasi in London. Dear Gurudev, how to change vision and going to university see as a service to Guru and Krishna? Well, going to the university is in itself is not a service to Guru and Krishna. But if the spiritual master instructs you should do that, then it is. Because it's the spiritual master's order. So it's not that in itself it's service to Krishna. But if the spiritual master instructs you, yes, you should go to the university, then you are serving. Some of our brahmacharya ashrams actually require that. I know in Pune, India, you can't be a brahmacharya. They only allow college graduates in the brahmacharya ashram. And you have to actually have a work experience too. Professional work experience. And then they allow you to become a brahmacharya. They don't want loafers in the brahmacharya ashram. They want fired up, dedicated, you know, intelligent men. So Prabhupada actually instructed those who were enrolled in the university when they joined, they finished their degree. So there is something, there's a good training. One actually develops good self-discipline skills and good communication skills in university training. So there are some advantages. Even in, of course, for earning a livelihood is an advantage. And for communication skills and discipline skills, it's also advantageous, even for a devotee. As long as we have to make a living in the material world, it's very helpful. Instead of just washing dishes for minimum wage, you can work less hours and make more money and have more time for Krishna consciousness. That's another reason to get a university education. So it's easier to earn a living later on in life. Even though it's a struggle to get a college degree, it makes it easier later in life to have Krishna consciousness. Have a better job, better be able to retire early with a better income, etc. Okay. So here's another question. This, I think we'll stop here. This is from Champak Lata Devi Dasi. I'm a neophyte and novice, not at all strong in Krishna consciousness. But by Guru's mercy, I've been getting all opportunities to preach Krishna consciousness. How should I understand this? You've already properly understood it. It's by Guru's mercy. You've already properly understood. So take advantage of this mercy that you've, Krishna and Guru have given you so many wonderful opportunities to preach. Take advantage to the fullest extent. Whatever mercy comes to you by the grace of Guru and Krishna, take advantage of it to the fullest extent, and then Guru and Krishna will give you more mercy, more mercy, more mercy. If you take advantage of that mercy, you'll get even more mercy. You see? So this is the secret of how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Whatever blessings you receive, don't neglect them. Utilize them to the fullest possible extent, and then more blessings will shower upon your head like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for coming to this program tonight. I'm just so happy to see so many wonderful persons here tonight, and you all heard very nicely. I appreciate that. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Sankarshan Dasa Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.